back there looking at that video and everything, and I thought, turn this on, brother. It's ready, all right. And my wife said, we've never done a video. In fact, when I started on deputation, didn't even have a slideshow. You imagine a missionary coming to your church not having a slideshow? But I didn't have a slideshow. All I had it was a burden on my heart, a call on my life. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, you just don't, you get to a place, and I didn't have any slideshow. I didn't really do deputation about 3 months, and then we left, and I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, the Lord had to be in that, Lord, you know, but I appreciate the brother and his burden and call on his life, and I appreciate the Lord, and appreciate what the Lord's trying to accomplish. I'm thankful to be here. We're thankful. Me and my wife, we've had a great time already. We appreciate all the accommodations, just the blessings of what the church has done, how laid it all out. We're real thankful for that. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the preacher. Appreciate the friendship. Appreciate all the people that are here and faithful. And the Parfait family, I prayed for you. I prayed for you since the homegoing of your dad and your husband. And we appreciate you so much. That's what a blessing and testimony about being faithful to the Lord. Amen. We're grateful for that, sister. Appreciate it. We'll be continuing to pray for you. Take your Bibles tonight, this morning, to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8, please. Judges chapter 8. Well, Judges chapter 8, and he's getting a battery or something. That's all right. We'll just talk a little bit to you a little bit. Yeah, we don't need it, right? Appreciate the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Get the battery hooked up. Okay. Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Okay. All right. Judges chapter 8, if you will. Thankful for the Lord. Thankful for His grace. Thankful for the opportunity to preach. And I want to look at verse 18, please, this morning. And I'm aiming towards these young people here this morning. And if I hit the young people, I guarantee I'll probably hit some of these gray-headed people and some of these moms and dads for sure. As somebody said, you know, I don't know who it was that said it, you know, make sure it's one cut to the heart, not seven slashes with the sword and bullet holes all over through you. I've been in meetings where, man, the guy's just going like this, and he's hitting you and hitting you from all aims, and you come out, you feel like you got bullet holes all through you, you know. You didn't get it, all right. Judges 8, verse 18, one cut to the heart is what we're looking for. Verse 18, then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye have saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou, fall upon us, as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on the camel's neck. You know, this morning as the brother was presenting, and as I was hearing the music, and just seemed like the Lord was trying to speak to my heart as He's been all week, and I've been asking God and His Holy Spirit to begin to direct the messages in the way that He wants it to be directed. And I've asked God to show me exactly what it is that we need here this morning. I believe through the work of the Holy Spirit even this week and through my Bible that God really wanted this. In Judges 8, we have find Israel has experienced, brother, a great victory over the Midianites. And God used 300 to win the victory over 185,000 Midianite soldiers. Brother, if you study this, it's a great miracle of God that took place here. They didn't have to go in and fight. Brother, they had their pitchers in their hands. They had the covered of the lamps. They had their trumpets, amen. They blew their trumpets. They broke those pictures. They shouted the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And God did the rest. I like when God does it. It's a lot better when God does it. We don't get our hands in it, but when the Lord does it. But we find in there, they're chasing down the remainder of those Midianites. And Gideon and his men capture two of the princesses of Midian. The names are Zeba and Zalmunna. And in Judges 18, they catch this enemy of this Midianite people. And Gideon said, what manner of men were they whom you slew in Tabor? In verses 18 into 20, I want you to notice in verse number 20. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a little while on this thought. Pick up the mantle. Pick it up. Pick it up. You know what God's looking for in all the young people here? He's looking for you to pick up the mantle. He's looking for you to pick it up. I'm telling you, there's missionaries falling to the wayside. The average missionary spends about 2.5 years on the mission field. To be on the mission field 20 plus years, or to be on the missionary 40 years, is few and far between. What we need in this country is not a bunch of businessmen. What we need in this country is not more education. What we need in this country is not a bunch of more intelligent people feeding their minds with garbage from liberal and humanistic viewpoints. What we need is servants of the Lord. What we need is God called men of God. Preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, would you be willing, sitting there in the midst of this congregation, you're a young man or a young lady, would you be willing to pick it up where somebody put it down? We're talking about picking up the mantle this morning. We need the Lord's help. Before we go any further, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we need the precious touch of the Holy Ghost of God, Father, this morning. Lord, we pray if there's a lost man or woman in this building that's never been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we pray as Christians are praying now. And Lord, I pray there's probably many things on our hearts and minds. But, oh God, I pray we put out the world and we put off the thoughts that are in our minds, those things that might hinder what's being said this morning. I pray your dear Holy Spirit would get through to the heart. Lord, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish, but, Lord, it's our desire that, Father, that somebody would pick something up this morning. That somebody would pick up the Bible and take the Bible in a faraway land. Or Lord, maybe you wanted them to take the Bible across the street. Or Lord, maybe you want to take them somewhere else where you want them, Lord. And I pray that you'd raise up a young man, multiple young men and multiple ladies to go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to get saved. Father, I believe we're in the last days and we need the precious Holy Spirit to do the work. And Lord, we realize this morning, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I can't preach without you. We can't hear without you. Lord, we can't make any changes in our lives without you. And I pray, Lord, we'd be totally yielded and committed and submitted to the Holy Spirit this morning and be yielded to what he'd have us to do. Lord, I pray that you'd put me aside, and I pray that people would hear from you. I pray that someone here would pick it up. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about picking it up here this morning. And I want you to notice in verse number 18, or verse number 20, it says, and he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But watch it now. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. I want you to notice, I want to bring to your attention this morning, the youth drew not his sword. The youth, who's the youth? It's Jether. It's Gideon's firstborn son who's just seen the hand of God, brother, defeat the entire Midianite army without lifting up a sword. You know, you young people have seen a lot of things. You've seen a lot of God-given things. You've seen some God do some things in this church. You've seen God move. You've seen God take families from this congregation and use them for the glory of God. You've watched your dad and mom just plead with you and beg you. You've watched the Holy Spirit work in messages. You've watched God do a work that no other person could do. But here in verse 20, there was a young man. Gideon says, I want you to take that sword. I want you to go out there and I want you to kill those two prisoners. I want you to kill those two princes of Midian. And the Bible says that the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Let me ask you this morning. If God would call you to a foreign mission field, if God would call you to a ministry, would you be willing to pick it up? That's what we're looking for. That's what we're aiming for this morning. You know who God's looking for? He's looking for some people he can trust. Brother, he's looking for somebody that'll take the gospel to the foreign land. And if God puts his hand on your life, don't say no. I want to say the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is to be called of God to preach the word of God. Brother, I want to give you my testimony. I was saved at the age of 13. A missionary in Africa came and preached the gospel in our Christian school in Canton, Ohio, on Market Avenue. And brother, I heard the gospel there for the first time. I was sitting about three quarters of the way down, and he asked us, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? I left the seat. I got down there. It was down there to the right-hand side. I never forget it. It's not a Baptist church anymore. It's a liberal church. But every time I get to Canton, any time I get home, I go to the place where God saved me. Amen. I got down there at the altar, and I began to pray. And this man came down to me, put his arm around me. He said, why'd you come? I said, I came because I'm lost. I came because I need Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm pleading with you. I'm begging for you to get saved this morning before it's eternally too late. And in 1978, I bowed my head and trusted Jesus Christ. Several years later, you know, I thought the world was the best place to be. Brother, I went out and I was played football. If you're from Massillon, Ohio, you play football or you work in a steel mill. Well, I worked in a steel mill. My dad made me work, and that's how you get big fingers, amen, and that's how you get strong back. You got to go to work every day. God never used a lazy man to preach. God never used a lazy missionary. If you're a lazy missionary and you ain't working now, you'll never work when you get to the mission field, amen. Come on, talk to me. And brother, that's how God moves, and that's how God works, and that's what God does. He works with people like that. Well, you know what? I was running. I played football. I was playing in a Massillon, Ohio area, and I got a scholarship to play at the University of Akron. I played there for 4 years, and would have been drafted in the 7th round, but because of an ankle injury, God was showing me there was something else He wanted me to do. I was sitting about three quarters of the way back there, and I'd been thinking about the Lord, thinking about His work, and of course, I met my wife at that time, and the best thing I ever had happened to me was my wife. And, you know, she was living for God, and I was kind of half in and half out, you know, and sometimes you get that way. And you know what happened to me? She began to live right, and she said, hey, let's go to this church. And so we went back to church where we were going to church. We went over there to church, and God was dealing with me about the ministry. And we've been working in a small business, and, you know, sometimes you got to get tired of the old business world. You got to get tired of the old life of making the money, because there's more to life than money, amen. There's more to life than watching TV and, you know, getting after and watching soap boxes and stuff like that. There's more to life than that. Amen. And so we got to running this business, and we got to, basically, we started living for the world and everything, and one day we realized that there's more to life than money. There's more to life than having things. Brother, we were sitting right back there, and I had been driving, we'd been starting another business. We were over in the Akron, Ohio area. And there was two people from Moldova came in for applications in one day. And I thought, where's Moldova? Man, when I first heard about it, I thought, brother, it's probably Africa. It sounds like Africa. Well, I got to witnessing these guys in the office, and they began to tell me, well, Moldova, it's the Soviet Union. I said, man, you kidding me? He said, man, he said, he kept to telling me how they were selling the doors off their houses so they can feed their family and all that stuff. And I thought to myself, what kind of place is this? And so I got a 30-minute drive home from work, and all I could think about was these people in Moldova. Every day he'd be telling me about how his family didn't have enough to eat and all this stuff. And I thought, he said, the next day I come to work, and he said, Paul, we need somebody like you to go to our people and tell us about what you've been telling us. Well, I end up leading this guy to the Lord Jesus Christ in the office, and he began to tell me about Moldova every day. And I thought to myself, I said, hey, Mikhail, I'll tell you what, I'll pray about it. You know, we tell people we're praying about it, but really we ain't praying about it. That's just a way of getting rid of people, you know. You people are just like me, I guess. And so, you know what happened was, as I began to say to this guy, and I told him, I said, I'll be praying about that. You know, I had a burden on my heart. And God, I got a 30-minute drive home, and all I could think about was these people I'd never seen. You know what I told him? I said, I'll pray God send somebody. But what God was doing was he was working in my heart. You know, I was, and every week there'd be a missionary. We had a missionary from China come in, and he'd show those Chinese being baptized in those bathtubs and that and everything. And I said, I'll go to China. Well, you know something? Just seemed like every time we would go to the restaurant, we meet somebody from Moldova. It was just God appointments, you know. Yeah. One day I heard a man preach the gospel out of Isaiah 6. He said, who am I? Send me. When I heard those words, I grabbed my wife's hand. I said, we're going to Moldova. We did 3 months of deputation or so, or 8 months of deputation, and then we left. We've been over there almost 21 years. We thank the Lord for what he's done. But I want you to know, young people, there ain't nothing greater than taking a Bible under your arm and going to a place who's never heard the gospel and telling them about Jesus. Amen. There's nothing better than Jesus. There's nothing better than preaching the Word of God. And I wonder, this morning, would you be willing to pick it up? Would you be willing to pick it up where somebody else put it down? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for you to pick it up. And here's a youth that drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:15, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what a privilege it is, brother, for us to stand and preach this blessed book? Do you know what it is, a privilege for a man that wrote this book? Do you realize God Almighty wrote this book? The creator of your soul wrote this book. Brother, your heart is beating in your chest because God breathed in it. And God gave you the word of God. And you have to addict yourself to the ministry of the saints. I know where I came from. I know where I'm at. And I know where I'm going. Brother, I'm going to heaven. And brother, I want you to know that's the only way to get there. Paul says, this one thing I forget, those things which were behind, I press toward the mark, the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. You remember in 1 Samuel 3, Eli instructs that young boy Samuel. He said, if God calls you, thou shalt say, Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Listen, wouldn't it be a reasonable thing at the end of these services this morning that you would say, Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth it. Lord, I'm willing to preach if you want me to. Lord, I'm willing to go where you want me to. God calls Samuel as a prophet of the nation of Israel as a young man. He calls him. I have no doubt God could call a young man in here. I have no doubt God could call a young lady in here. I have no doubt God could call a family in here. I know God doesn't call a woman to preach, but you as a young girl can reserve your life to marry a preacher of the gospel. Amen. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth it. You might have to pray, say, Lord, I don't know if I'm willing. I don't know if you called me or not, but I'm willing to go. Would you be able to pray that tonight, this morning? Lord, if you want me to be a preacher of the gospel, I'm willing to go. Brother, when God called me to preach, I would sit there and listen to it. I would sit and listen to that preacher preach, and my heart couldn't stand it. My heart was beating out of my chest because I wanted to do something for the Lord. I wanted to go for God. I didn't want to waste my life on this old earth. Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. I want you to know I wasn't drafted. I want you to know I didn't enlist. Brother, I want you to know I volunteered. Would you be willing to volunteer for God's service? Would you be willing to go to a long-lasting country somewhere else? Moldova, Madagascar, Nigeria. Would you be willing to go to Canada? Would you be willing to take the gospel to America? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Europe? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Italy? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Ireland? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Indonesia? Would you be willing to take the gospel to the Maroon? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Switzerland? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Germany? Would you be willing to take the gospel to Sweden? Would you be willing to take the gospel to your friends? I wonder if you've taken the gospel to your friends. Does everybody around you know that you're saved? Does everybody know that you're Christian? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. In our text, it says the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. I want to give you three items that you're to pick up this morning. Three items you're supposed to pick up. The first item in Judges 8 is a sword. We look at Jether and we think, why didn't he pick up the sword? I'd have picked it up. I don't have a problem picking up a sword. Why didn't Jether pick it up? Why didn't he pick up the sword? Why wouldn't he use a sword? There's three things you should pick up. The first thing that you and I as believers ought to pick up, we ought to pick up the sword of the Scriptures. Bible says, the Bible says the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Listen, you as a born again child of God, blood bought believer, you ought to put on the Word of God. You ought to put on the whole armor of God. There are two armors you need to put up, and that's the Scriptures, and that's the thing of prayer. Paul says in Ephesians 6:17, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You'd laugh at how foolish for a soldier to go out in a battle and with his whole armor on and all the protection and the shield and not carry a sword. Amen. If you go out to battle without a gun, you're a stupid soldier. Amen. Listen, no one can force you to pick up the sword. I'm asking you, would you be willing in your heart to pick up the sword and fight for Jesus Christ? That's what we need, brother. That's what missions is about. That's what going with the gospel is all about. Would you be willing to pick it up? The sad part about Jether, Gideon told his son to pick up the sword. Gideon told him, I want you to slay those two princes of Midian. But the youth Jether wouldn't pick it up. He was afraid. He was afraid because he was a youth. Listen, no one can force you to pick up the sword. Listen, one of these days, you kids, you're going to get out the realm of your parents. You're going to get out there, and you're going to have to find out whether you're a Christian, whether you're going to be a Christian, whether you're going to go for God. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to pick up the sword. Yes, there's a whole lot of Christians in here probably dropped the sword. They're not picking it up. I remember over there in 2 Samuel 23, we find a man named Eleazar. Eleazar is one of David's mighty men. And when God wrote the commentary on Eleazar, brother, the Bible says he stood his ground. He didn't run when the entire Israelite army was running. Brother, Eleazar stood his ground. He defended a piece of ground. He won a victory over an entire army of Philistines. The Bible said when the war was over with that thing, The Bible says his hand clave to the sword. I wonder, are you completely surrendered to the Lord? Have you surrendered your heart to the Lord? Is your hand cleaving to the sword? That's what God wants. He wants us to cleave to that sword. He wants to take the Word of God. He wants to change us with the Word of God. He wants us to cleave it. How is it that one guy dropped the sword and one had to cleave to it? Are you thinking, are you listening to what I'm talking about? I wonder, are you your hand cleaved to the sword? I wonder, are you faithful? Are you completely surrendered in your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what I see in churches all over America when I get back here? I see half-hearted Christians. I see apathetic Christians. I see Christians half in the boat, half out of the boat. I tell you what, when God called me to preach, my dad raised a man.
Come on.
You know, he raised a man that would work. He raised a man that'd be a man, you know. And he told me, if you ever go over there, here's two things I want you to do. Well, I don't want you to do. Never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came from. Never forget the pit that God got you out of. And he said, don't embarrass us. Amen. You know what he's talking about? Surrender. Young man, have you completely surrendered to the Lord? Or is it just outward? Just outward things. You know, you can pretty up the outside, put the haircut on, you know, put the nice scrubs on, you know, put the shirts on, you know, dress yourself up to be so pretty and nice. But down deep in heart, you ain't surrendered yet. Trouble with most young people, they're not surrendered. They're not completely given over to the Lord. They're not consecrated. You say, Brother Paul, what's it mean to be consecrated? To be consecrated means you're putting your hand, you're putting your life in God's hands. You're filling God's hand. I wonder, are you filling God's hand? A lot of times we're filling God's hand with a bunch of foolishness and nonsense. Things that don't matter, things that are empty, things that have no meaning. Listen, if you're looking for the educated world to give it to you, they won't give it to you. If you're looking for somebody else over there, some movie star, somebody else like that, they're not going to give it to you. You've got to forget it. You've got to put it out of your mind. The only thing you're going to get something from the Lord. It's the only thing that's going to happen. It's the only thing that matters in this life. Are you willing to pick it up? Are you willing to pick up the sword? We need more young people. We need more people surrendered. You know, I was thinking about this. So many missionaries coming off the field. I heard about four of them here in the last year. God, I started to go into prayer. I said, Lord, I said, there's got to be some. Lord, God, touch some little kid. I started praying about the little kids. That's why everywhere I go, I say, do you know the children of your church? Do you pray for them by name? How well do you know the countries of this world? You can never surrender yourself if you're not praying about a country. You ought to be praying about a country you can go to. And if God doesn't tell you to go for it, doesn't matter. At least you prayed about it. At least you put it before the Lord. That's what missions is about. Praying about those things. The church is not here to sit. It's to go. The first two letters of God is go. The first two letters of the gospel is go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Have you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Have you picked up the sword? Have you picked up the sword? Are you willing to go somewhere where somebody else dropped the sword? You willing to go to an unnamed country? I can tell you there's a place right now. It's Stockholm, Sweden. And I prayed every day for the last couple years. My wife and I flew in there one time. We got off the airplane, got down one of these tarmacs, and there was about 10,000 young people on skateboards. They all spoke English. It's a hub of Eastern Europe. We need a preacher in Stockholm, Sweden. Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to take the gospel to them? Would you be willing to pick up the sword? We got Jether here, who was asked to do a simple task, but he refused. Eliezer was asked to do an impossible task, and he accepted. We've got one man, Jether, who couldn't pick it up, and we got one man, Eliezer, who couldn't put it down. It's what God's looking for. I wonder this morning, are you a Jether or are you an Eliezer this morning? I don't know about you, I can't get enough of the Bible. I can't get enough of preaching. My wife said, "You sure you need all these tapes to listen to and these CDs?" Man, when I first got saved, I was ordering things down all over the place trying to get something from God, you know. Why? Hungry, brother. Are you hungry? Best kind of football players, amen, were the ones that are hungry. God ain't interested in your talent. He don't use the most talented. He uses the most yielded. He uses the one with the big heart. I played football with a nose guard. We played Division I football. His name's Marty Corrigan. He played nose tackle. That's right over the center. The center hikes the ball. If some of you guys are football idiots and don't know what I'm talking about, that center hikes the ball. The nose tackle's right over top of him. He was 190 pounds, played nose tackle. That's impossible. And every Bible, I've been praying for Marty Corrigan. He's a lost Catholic. He lives in Cleveland, Ohio. He's a fireman. He's a dear soul. I've prayed for him every day of my life. He's written in a lot of my Bibles. You know why? I always remember the heart he played with. He had a big heart. That's what God needs in the mission field. Big hearts. Big hearts make it. The biggest heart I got's my wife. We got a little orphan boy that lives with us named Radu. Brother Greg knows him. He's somebody nobody else wants. He's a red-headed kid, fiery temper. When they found him when he was 4 years old, he was walking in the snow. His mom lived out in the woods with her one boyfriend after another. They were a drunken family. And the mayor of the village found him. I've been preaching in orphanages since 1997, and we had 787 kids in the orphanage. And after the orphanage, they have to leave the orphanage after 18, and they're basically told to fend for themselves. And the Lord put on our hearts to start a boys' home and a girls' home, and we took Radu in our house. And I don't think of Radu as an orphan. I think of him as our son. My wife loves him. We love him. But you know something? God can transform a life. God's not looking for the most intelligent. God's not looking for those that got it all together. God's not looking for those that know the Bible. You don't have to know the Bible to tell somebody how to go to heaven. You just have a heart, an intestinal fortitude inside to tell somebody about Jesus, and have a burden on your heart and a tear in your eye to see somebody saved. Radu got saved. My wife led him to the Lord, and he's doing fine in the church. But like I said, God's not in the business of using somebody that's intelligent or has it all together. He's looking for somebody that's yielded. I wonder, are you willing to pick up the sword this morning? How well are you picking up the sword of the Scriptures? The sword of the Scriptures necessary for salvation. The sword of the Spirit's necessary for preaching. The sword of the Spirit is necessary for sanctification, for soul winning, for supplication, for the source of comfort and strength. How you doing picking up the sword? Let me ask you, Christian, do you read the Bible? Do you memorize the Bible? Do you obey the Bible? You know, the sword gives vision. The Bible says the Word of God is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. The sword gives values. The sword is necessary for victory. Maybe you need to pick up the Bible. You remember over there in 2 Kings 2, we find the story about Elijah, brother. Over there in 1 Kings 19, when God spake to Elijah in the cleft of the rock. Brother, I like when God speaks in the cleft of the rock. I like when God's Holy Spirit dearly whispers to your soul. Brother, that's where God spoke to him with a still, small voice. And thank God we can experience the voice of God speaking to us. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the preaching. God speaks through the praying. God speaks through reoccurrences in our life. Things that happen over and over again. But Elijah wrapped his face in that mantle. I got to meditating on that one day. We find in 1 Kings 19:19, we find Elijah went and found Elisha. And the Bible says he cast his mantle on Elijah. You know what I start to think about? What's interesting in 2 Kings, we find Elisha has got the mantle back. Elisha cast the mantle on Elijah, and that's a picture of God calling somebody into the work of the Lord and choosing him to be a successor in the ministry. And what's interesting about Elisha is he got the mantle back. Elisha didn't keep it. Maybe it's because Elisha made the decision for himself. He couldn't be just forced upon him. I don't know how that's all worked. I want you to know the ministry's not caught. The ministry is caught, it's not taught. I wonder what you're catching around here. I wonder what you're catching with all the preaching. I wonder what God's been doing in your life lately. I wonder what kind of things that God's been trying to orchestrate lately to try to get a hold of your soul, trying to put things in perspective, trying to get you to where he wants you to be. Trouble is, we're too hard. We're too hard-hearted. We got a stiff-necked. The Bible says, he that hardened his heart and stiffened his neck shall not prosper. In 2 Kings 2, Elijah uses that mantle to smite the waters, and the waters part, brother. Elisha's following him. Elisha says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And when you're taken up, and he says, that's what I want. Elijah says, that's pretty touching. He says, if you see me when I go up, I want to grant it unto you. Sure enough, when Elijah was taken up to heaven, the Bible says Elisha saw it. Elisha was faced with a choice. You know why? Because Elijah was taken up. The Bible says his mantle fell to the ground. Now, Elisha could have said, I don't want to pick it up. But you know what Elisha does? He picks up the mantle. He picks up what somebody put down. Some of you got godly mothers and fathers. Some of you got godly examples in the work of the Lord. Somebody that's bad influence on your life. Let me ask you something. If they died, would you be willing to pick it up and take it on? Would you be willing to take the baton and keep going on for Jesus Christ? I'm encouraged by these older men here. They're in church, but wouldn't it be a great thing if somebody would take this man's place and take up the sword and follow Jesus Christ? I wonder, when was the last time you took up the sword? We're talking about the sword of the Spirit. We're talking about the Word of God here. We're talking about the Word of the Lord. The mantle fell to the ground, but it didn't force him to pick it up. He knew that God wanted him to pick it up. He picked up Elijah's mantle and went back with that mantle and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The waters departed. We know Elisha received the double portion. We know Elisha had the power of God. How well are you at picking up the sword? The second thing I want you to think about picking up is picking up the mantle of the ministry. Have you picked up the mantle of the ministry? Brother, I'm not just talking to preachers here. I'm talking to every born-again child of God. I'm talking about if you've been saved by the grace of God, have you picked up the mantle of the ministry? You know what God saved you for? He saved you to serve. Have you picked up the mantle of ministry? I'm talking about everyone. You don't have to force ministry on people. Elisha was willing to pick up the mantle of the ministry. Elisha was faced with a choice. Nobody had to force him to do it. Would you be willing to take the gospel to somebody that's never heard? I thought about this, brothers and sisters. What if Elisha never picked it up? What about that Shunammite woman who would have never had her son? What about that Shunammite woman who would have never seen her son raised from the dead? What about all the victories that God's people won over Syria because Elisha the prophet said, smite the arrows to the ground and you'll be victorious? What about those lepers who went and found the Syrians that were gone? What about all the miracles that would have never happened? What if... I want to live in the mantle ministry. Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to say, Lord, send me? Would it be a young man that would be willing to lose his life? Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. Would you be willing to say, would you be willing to put away your dreams? Your dreams of going to college. Your dreams to go to the Air Force or the Navy. Would you be willing to put away all your dreams and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing. Would you say, Lord, I'm willing to pick up whatever you want me to pick up. I'm willing to pick up the sword of the Spirit. I'm willing to pick up the ministry of the ministry. I'm willing to do something for you. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'll give it all to you. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'll go. Lord, I'll go. I'll leave all I got right now and I'll go. That's what's needed here this morning. That's what we're after. We want to see if your heart's in it. You know, I played all those years of ball, and the best kind of football players is the ones that had their heart in it. When your heart ain't in it, you don't do it anymore. Is your heart in the Lord's work? We need preachers. We need pastors. We need missionaries. We need evangelists. We need somebody that's going to take the gospel to the lost. Not only to pick up the sword of the scriptures and the mantle of the ministry, but the third thing I want you to see, we need to pick up the cross of commitment. This is what you do for him. Look over at Romans chapter 12, please, if you will. Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophesied, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That's talking about the cross of commitment. That's something every one of us ought to carry. Brother, if you remember Jesus speaking to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, Matthew 14, and Luke chapter 8, Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. That's a cross we've got to carry. When Jesus was going to the cross, they compelled on a sinner, Simon the Cyrene, to carry the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he carried it, you know what? We don't hear anything more about Simon the Cyrenian. We don't know if he ever finished. Do you realize Peter, in despite of all of his failures, in spite of all of his difficulties, Peter was the one disciple Jesus said for Peter, take up the cross and follow me. I wonder, would you be willing to take up God's cross and follow him? We know Peter died. He hanged on a cross upside down. You know what that's called? That's called commitment. That's the cross of commitment. That means no matter what happens, you got to stick with it. You need to pick up the cross of commitment. And would you be willing to pick up the cross of commitment? I'm talking about the cross of service this morning. Would you be willing to say, here am I, send me, Lord? I'm talking about the cross of suffering. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. Last scripture. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, if you go, it might cost you something. It's a cross of surrender. It's not my dreams, it's about the Lord. It's your cross of sacrifice. In 1944, I'll close with this. In 1944, there was a private. His name was Richard Sorensen. He was 19 years old, brother. And I want you to think about a 19-year-old private here this morning. Brother, he was getting ready to head into battle in the Pacific Islands. They were getting ready to make their landing. And there was a particular Private Sorensen. He was a member of a machine gun crew. Brother, while that crew was preparing to make the landing, the crew was talking, and one of them said, what if a grenade came in on us? What would we do? What if it came in us and was going to explode? You see, in their training, it was very common for the machine gun crews to an attempt to take out a single hand grenade of one of those machine gun crews. They were talking, what if that hand grenade was thrown in us? And Private Sorensen said before the landing, he said someone should smother it. A couple of days later on the Marshall Island, that machine gun crew was in full combat, brother. It was a bad thing going on. There was people getting killed all over the island. There was bloodshed everywhere, brother. And that machine gun crew, that hand grenade did come in. And that 19-year-old Sorensen smothered the hand grenade, saving the rest of the crew. But that Private Sorensen lived. That impact of that grenade was taken in the abdomen, it was taken in the chest, and brother, he lived to tell about it. When talking with him years later, he said, I don't know, didn't even think about it, I just fell on it. Amen, brother. We need a lot of that. And many, many years later, he received a letter from a college student, and that college student was to write an essay on what was the most important thing in her life. And that college student was writing about a particular person in that essay, and the last line read, Richard Sorensen is a man I held in awe, even before I learned his name, because one of the men he saved was my dad. The highest military honor that you can bestow on a military man or woman is called the Congressional Medal of Honor. Richard Sorensen was awarded the Medal of Honor. And brother, if you understand the military, the Medal of Honor is only given to those who have demonstrated his or her willingness to lay down their lives for somebody else. On that day, Richard Sorensen was willing to lay down his life that other machine gun team members could live. And I got to thinking about that as I was reading and studying this. He was recognized by one of the daughters of the men that were saved that day. But you know something? He was willing to lay it down. And I thought about this message this morning. I thought about us. If you're willing to lay it down, that means you must be willing to pick it up. Would you be willing to go and help save somebody else from eternity in hell? I'm talking about picking it up this morning. Would you be willing to pick up the scriptures and go to a faraway land? Would you be willing to pick up the mantle of the ministry this morning? Or maybe you're sitting here and you're already in the ministry, or maybe you're already thinking about it, but God wants you to pick up the cross of commitment. Maybe you're a Christian in this church, but you're not fully committed to the Lord. Maybe you're just half in the church and you're half out of the church. But I wonder this morning, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? The Bible says Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ? If there's never been a time in your life, pick up salvation. Come to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you come to Jesus? Would you trust Jesus? Would you put your faith in Jesus? If you don't know him as your Savior, get saved today. If you're a young person, you've never been born again, you don't know the Lord, don't play around with your life, because your life could be ended today. Life is like a vapor. We're here for a little while and we vanish away. Amen. I wonder, Christian, would you be willing to pick it up? Let's stand for prayer. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, the preacher will come.
Come down if you're not saved. You want to get saved?